You know, I heard Brother Hagin say it. The Lord spoke to him, and I've heard others say, as this country goes, so is the effect. You know, I'll say it another way. As the church goes and as the church prays, so goes the nation. If we're not praying, so goes the nation. If we're praying and we're coming against things, so goes the nation. So you can see the health of the nation and you can get a gauge as to how the church is praying, how the church is operative. So I say that Jesus is Lord, and we're seeing change, and we're going to see positive change in this country. Did you get to Mark 11:22? Yeah. Now I'm going to read from the King James, and we're looking at, and you know, it's interesting, when you look at this particular scripture here, you can see where the theme here is faith and love, see, and you can see that here. In verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall do what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. In verse 24, it says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and what? You shall have them. Now let's look at verse 25 and 26. What's the first word in verse 25? And. So what would we think here? This word and is a conjunction, or you could say it connects what we just read with what we're about to read, right? So it's connecting the verses together here. It's not excluding. We get excited reading Mark 11:22, 23, and 24, but this is directly related here, isn't it? And it says, and when you stand what? Praying, what's the next word say? Forgive, right? If you have what? Aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may do what? Forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, do what? Forgive your trespasses. So this word trespass, you know, you could say I'm just looking up in the dictionary. It just means something that where you've deviated from the truth, something where you've done something that's not right, or it's a misdeed or a sin. So we can see here. Let me read this from the New Living. It says, verse 25. But when you are praying, first, what does it say? First, forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against. Ouch. Right? That makes it plain, right? Forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So sometimes, you know, this flesh isn't redeemed. You can get over and let your flesh kind of take precedent here. I'm going to get even with them. I'm going to say this. See, what did Paul say? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. This is the author of two-thirds of the New Testament. So if he had to do it, with all the revelation he had, so must we. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, what does it say? But I do what? Keep under my body and bring what? It, the body, into subjection or under control or submission. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? A castaway. So this means here, Paul must have had to deal with his flesh. When he said, I, he was talking about not his body keeping under his body or his soul. He's talking about the real him. The real person is what? The new man inside. The new person who's in Christ. So that new person has to take control. The spirit of the person, your spirit, has to do what? Tell your body, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to get even. We're not going to say that. We're not going to think that. And that takes some work, you know? I mean, we don't get there overnight, do we? Some of us, it's a lifelong thing where you're going to, you know, stuff will come up. You can either yield or not yield, right? So you can yield to the thoughts and the flesh or not yield. And for us, it's not the big things. You know, what does the scripture say? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little stuff that, you know, I always say it, you know, this way, it's you reap what you sow. If you keep yielding to the thoughts, it gets harder than to stop and not yield because you keep sowing to it. You keep yielding to those thoughts. Every time, you know, people say, well, this is just the way I am. Deal with it. Well, if you're a new person in Christ, that really isn't the way you are. You're a new person in Christ. You're just yielding to the flesh. And so this has a direct, what does that mean? If we keep yielding to the flesh, then what does that mean? It has a direct impact on whether God will forgive us and whether you get your prayers answered. And it also affects, you know, when I say affects your, you know, whether your prayers are answered, what does that mean? It affects your faith. So if you hold a grudge, you hold a, you know, some angst against somebody, well, I'll just get even with them. You know, you know how that goes. Everybody has a way. You know what I talk about that? Everybody has their little way of getting even with somebody. Let us name them or not name them. Maybe that's a better way. But everybody is different in this room, and there are different ways that you know how to get even with somebody without you thinking it's a big thing. I just won't talk to them. I won't call them. I won't, you know, all of the, those are the little things that we may not think it's a big thing, but the scripture does, because God knows what you're thinking. He knows your heart. So you may think, well, I just won't talk to them anymore. Well, God is saying that's a big deal. That's a big deal because he knows your heart. And ultimately, if you keep feeding that and you don't correct it and you don't stop it, then it ultimately will affect your faith. And that's what happens a lot of times, is that we sometimes don't realize that our faith is affected by what? As a man thinketh, so is he. So those things are key, right? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. You know, we always read verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at verse 1. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? The mercies of God, that what? You present what? Your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. And then he goes on, and so he's connecting what he's about to say. Be not conformed to this world, because they certainly don't present their bodies unto God. And they're not trying to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is saying here, we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We have to do what? Keep our bodies under. Keep our thoughts in control. And turn over to Romans, or you're in Romans 12. Look at verse 19. You know, you say, well, I'll get even. Well, that's not what the scripture says. Verse 9 of that same chapter, it says, dearly beloved, do what? Avenge not yourself. Don't try to get even. It says, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So the Lord is saying, look, you just walk in love with folks, and I'll deal with them, right? So this is one of the main reasons when we talk about faith and we talk about operating in faith, it's one of the main hindrances here. There are a number of hindrances, but this is one. I'd say a main reason is that we don't walk in love to the degree that we should. So here, let's look at Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 6. We know this scripture here. Very familiar. What does it say? It says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but what? Faith which worketh by love. Let's say that. But faith that worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. So faith works by love. So you could say if there's no love, then faith won't work. Faith won't work if there's no love. It won't work. I mean, let's take, you might say, well, let's just take a quick look here. I mean, there's a number of scriptures. We're going to look at them, but what's the first verse, first and second verse of 1 Corinthians 13? You know, talking about faith worketh by love. But just those first few verses, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, it says, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have what? All faith, so that I could do what? Remove mountains and have not charity. It says here, you are nothing. That doesn't sound too good. So here, when we talk about operating in the love of God, we're talking about what? Forgiveness. We're talking about just what we were talking about here in when it says, and when you stand praying in verse 25, do what? Forgive. First forgive. If you have aught against any. You know, that word aught means anything. Whosoever and whatsoever. That's just what the dictionary says. Ought. It's an old English word. Means whosoever and whatsoever. Whatever it is, no matter how big it is, and no matter who it is, if you have ought against any, that's what it says. Forgive them. So let's take a look here at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Still talking about faith and operating in faith, but this being a hindrance of faith, operating in the love of God. So here, I mean, this is a powerful scripture here. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 32. It says, and be ye what? Kind one to another, tenderhearted, doing what? Forgiving one another. Look at this. Even as God. So that means we can forgive even as God. You might say, wow. So that means I have the capacity to forgive even as God. And you might think, well, that doesn't sound possible, but we have his nature in us. God is love. He forgave us, and we're to forgive even as God. And so that means, what does that mean? It says in Romans, I believe in chapter 5, it says that the love of God has been what? Shed abroad. Romans 5:5, the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. So we can love, and then that directly affects our faith. Your flesh doesn't want to, your mind doesn't want to, but your heart does, because the love of God's been shed abroad in it. So what does that mean? I have to yield to the real me. And that takes a decision, doesn't it? 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that does what? Dwelleth in love, does what? Dwelleth in God, and God in him. So we do have the love of God in us, because why? God's in us. So that means I can love, I just have to choose to. Doesn't mean my flesh wants to. I mean, you could sit there and look at me and want to haul off and curse me. But your heart has to choose not to. You have to choose not to. You have to choose to love somebody because God loves them. And he did what? He forgave us, not because we deserved it, but because what? He loved us. We certainly didn't deserve forgiveness. So for God, if he says we're to forgive even as he forgave, then that means he put in us the ability by the Holy Ghost to love people even as he did and forgive them. That's a big statement, isn't it? But not impossible. Now let's back up a chapter in 1 John 3 and look at verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. And it says, we know that we have what? Passed from death unto life. Why do we know that? Because we love the brethren. So you may, you know, I'm thinking about when I was young and I was unsaved, I would just think about some of the nutty stuff I did to people because I didn't like them. And then when you get saved, your whole thinking changes, your heart changes. I remember. I won't get into the details, but I mean, it just, I remember. And I said, wow, something changed. Yeah, it did change. You changed. Your spirit changed. I mean, look at Paul. Saul persecuted people. And then what did he do? He got saved and something changed, didn't it? There are some people that are in jail today that murdered people. They got saved and they changed. They don't have that desire anymore. Now they love people. And the world looks at them and goes, you dog, you dirty, you still want, you know, and they don't understand, do they? They don't understand that now their heart's changed. The real person has changed. See? So if Paul can change, so can all of us, and we can all change. And he wrote about it, didn't he? He said in Romans, to the church of Romans, or not, to the church there in Rome, he said what? The believers. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So the love of God is in us. And it needs to be developed so that we can do what? Love other people. And I know, and if you're not careful, I'll just say that word, if you feed on the news, if you feed on things, that's why, you know, I was saying just the dynamics that we have in society. You know, the devil will try to put people against people, ethnos against ethnos, people against people. Whenever you see that, you know that's not God. If you think it, if the thought comes, didn't come from God. And you need to check it and put it down. Because I mean, even in this area that we live, I hear it. You know, the tension between the different communities in here, where you have the Jewish community and you have the other tensions going on because of certain things. We don't have to get into the details. But if you feed on that, you can say, yeah, mm-hmm, right. Because you can start taking on a what, as they call it in a tude. You can start taking on an attitude towards a people, and that's not God. That's not God. So we have to be very, very selective about what comes in. And I've had the Lord tell me, don't feed on that. Don't feed on that. Don't feed on that. That's not from me. That's not godly. That's not godly. And I've even shared it. You need to be very careful what you read, because, and the news and all of this stuff, you can start finding your thoughts going in a direction going, yep. See, and the same thing goes with our government. If you feed enough on stuff going on where the government's concerned, you can start getting an attitude against those who are in authority. And it's not of God. Because God said we're to pray for those who are in authority. So that's what I mean, whether it's people in authority in a government, whether it's people in the society in your block around you, you need to just do what the scripture says. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart because, and where did we get over to 1 John? No, 1 John chapter 3. I don't think I read this. I got sidetracked here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. What does it say? We know, I did start reading this. We know that we have what? Passed from death unto life because what? We love the brethren. People that we hated before, now we love. But what does it say? He that loveth not his brother abideth what? In death. Verse 15. Whosoever does what? Hateth his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in them. So how do you know that you're saved? I mean, that's a good marker for you, or a good thing to recognize. How do I know I'm saved? Because I love people that I didn't before. We love the brethren, right? So you know right away, I must be saved because I love some people I didn't before, right? Or I have the capacity now to love people in a situation where I wouldn't necessarily do. I wouldn't necessarily love them. And that will grow and develop as we do what? Obey the word. As we choose to obey and choose to obey the word, that will grow in us. Faith worketh by love, right? Hallelujah. Let's look at a couple of things here. Turn over to Exodus for a minute. Chapter 23, Exodus 23, and let's look at verses 25 and 26. And I want to look at this in comparison to John 13, 34 and 35. Look at the Old Testament. This is Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25 and 26. And what does it say here? And you shall do what? And you shall serve the Lord your God. So that means we're obeying him, right? And he'll do what? He shall bless thy bread and thy water. And the Lord says what? And I will do what? Take sickness away from the midst of thee. And then it goes on and it says here, verse 26, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. So now here we have those that were under the old covenant could walk in health without sickness, have their food blessed just by obeying the law. Just by obeying the law. But we have a better covenant, right? So if we just, let's look at John 13. John 13, and let's look at verse 34 and verse 35 in the King James. And what does it say? It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you do what? You love one another as what? I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, by this love shall all men know that you are my disciples. So you see, all men, just didn't say the brethren. All men shall know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. When we don't walk in love, we open the door to the devil. You're not obeying God's commandment. Did he have? He had a commandment in the Old Testament. He said, serve the Lord your God. Obey him. They had to obey the laws that he put down through Moses. Or you could say the Ten Commandments. They had to obey those. And when they did, they walked in health. They walked in the blessings of God, right? And all God is saying here is, you now have one commandment. Somebody might say, well, don't I have to obey the Ten Commandments? You have one commandment. One. That's it. You don't have Ten Commandments. You have one. You don't need to operate the ten. You got the one. Right? You want to prove that in the scripture? Let's look at a scripture. Let's look at Romans chapter 13. Let's look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. 8 through 10. It says, owe no man anything but to what? But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath what? Fulfilled the law. So when we talk about, do I need to operate the 10? No. If you operate the 1, you fulfill the 10. Right? Now, what does it say? What does verse 9 say? For this thou shalt... So he's telling you right here, in these next scriptures here, he's telling you that if you operate in the love of God, you won't do what? Thou shalt... For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal... He's talking about the Ten Commandments here, these commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And then what else does he say? And if there be any other commandment, It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment or the fulfilling of the law. So we don't have, when you operate in love, you would not break any of the Ten Commandments. You wouldn't break them because you're operating in love. And so here, if I walk in love, then I do fulfill the law. Does everybody see this? So this is interesting here, isn't it? Let's turn over to Exodus 15. Let's take a look at Exodus 15, verse 26. See, this is under the Old Testament. Exodus 15 and verse 26. Talking about obeying God, see? And what he would do here. It says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, right? I will put, now actually, if you look at this from the at least those that have written Young's literal translation, different commentaries, you could take this and look at this as far as God doing something causative, but it's more permissive. In other words, at least the writers say it's written in the permissive sense, not the causative sense. So it's really saying, I will not permit any of these diseases, not I'm causing them. Everybody understand that? It's written from a permissive tense rather than a causative tense. So it said, you could say, I will not permit any of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon or allowed upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. We're familiar with that. That's actually Jehovah Rapha. So here, just them obeying God put them in a position to walk in health. Walk in health just because they obey God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And verse 15. This is the Lord speaking here. It says, and the Lord will take away from thee what? All sickness. And this again is putting, it's more permissive, and will permit none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest upon thee, just because they hearkened unto his commandments. They'll walk in health. They'll walk in the blessings of God. And so what God is saying is if we will operate, faith worketh by love. If we operate in the love of God, then we can expect to walk in the blessings of God. Let's look at one other scripture here. James chapter 2 and verses 8 through 11. Talking about the royal law, but James chapter 2 verses 8 through 11, it talks about the royal law. We're talking about the royal law of love here. It says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, or respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So he's just telling us that if we operate in the law of love, that you will not do ill to your neighbor. You won't steal from your neighbor. You won't kill your neighbor. You won't take from your neighbor. You will not transgress. And that's what it said. If we operate in love, we fulfill the law. It's fulfilled. So let's look, let's wrap up here. Let's look at John 13 again. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14. What does it say? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So how do we know we're saved? How do we know that? Because, and how do we know we've passed from death unto life? Because we love the brethren. Now let's look at one last scripture. Let's look at John. The Gospel of John, let's look at chapter 15 and let's look at verse 5. And it says, what? I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. So we got done reading that we abide in God. We abide in love. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So we know that in order to operate in the love of God, we're going to have to stay connected to the vine. That's where fruit, we all notice, fruit gets its nourishment. You notice if a branch is severed, you see it wither, don't you? We see the leaves wither, we see the fruit wither, and it doesn't happen instantly, right? It happens over time. It could take a week, it could take a month, it could take a year for that thing to wither, but eventually it does, doesn't it? So we have to constantly stay connected. How we stay connected? In the Word, by His Spirit, fellowshipping with Him, and that will do what? It'll cause us to have His love that's already in us nourished and sustained and the more that gets nourished, we can do what? We can operate in it. But it becomes hard to operate. If you become severed, then what happens? The nourishment that you would normally get to feed your spirit is not there. And it becomes hard, doesn't it? It becomes difficult to operate in the love of God because He is the vine. What did we say before? God is love. So when we're connected to the vine, we're connected to what? Love. We're connected to God, we're connected to love. So if I get disconnected, I'm actually getting disconnected from love. So this, you know, when you even you look at What does it talk about here? I'm just looking at, made me think here of Galatians chapter 5, when it talks about the works of the flesh and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And isn't it interesting? It says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. See, there's that word, hatred, right? Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, verse 21, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, or you could say practice, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But now look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. What else is it? Faith, meekness, temperance. And what does it say? Against such there is no law. So if we operate in the love of God, we're operating in, what does it say? When we operate in the love of God, it's the fulfillment of the law. So there is no law that comes against or is against these fruit here that comes where? Out of our spirit. So the key becomes that if we walk in the love of God, it will do what? It'll cause us to operate in faith and not have it affect our faith. But and also, in order to do that, we're going to have to stay connected to what? The vine. Got to stay connected to the vine. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And, you know, it's that's what it says at communion time. And it says, let's just close with that scripture. Let's look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 11, talking about this here and receiving communion. But we always look at this here in verse 27. It says, wherefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27 and 28, it says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, what cause? In other words, you not judging yourself. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So we are worthy because we're in Christ. But what happens? You can get over into walking out of love with someone, and that puts you in a state of what? Not being righteous. That's what he says. He's faithful and just to forgive us of what? All unrighteousness if we just confess it, right? So that's the key. That with this, when we talk about, you look at the Old Testament, when they walked under that covenant, and they didn't violate things, what happened? You saw them. When they didn't do what the Lord told them, plagues were running rampant amongst them, right? And then they had to offer a sacrifice and do what the Lord told them to do, and the plague was stayed, right? So whenever they operated properly and under the law, they walked in health. They walked in the blessings of God. And the same with us. And sometimes we don't realize that things that we're doing could not only affect us personally, individually, but can affect our families, can affect our children. Because when you open the door up to the devil because of just something we've done, it can open up your household to be affected. So that means not just you, could affect your spouse, could affect your children, could affect people, right? Because we haven't operated in the love of God. So we need to, as they say, in order to operate in faith, we're going to have to walk in love and put this flesh down. Tell it to be quiet and operate in the love of God. Amen. Praise God. Well, I hope you got a little something. It's good to think about these things. You know, the world, you know, I just was thinking about that. You know, this what, when does the world celebrate Valentine's Day? Is this Friday? Friday. So they got their way of celebrating it. God already had his way right here, right? Here's how we celebrate it. We celebrate Christ and we walk in love, right? Regardless of what somebody says or does. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us instruction in righteousness. Thank you that we do walk in love. We thank you that we do have right thoughts and we do operate in the love of God. And the love of God is in us and we are able to love the brethren, love those who are unlovely, love those that don't like us. We can love them. So, Father, and it's what your word says, do good to those that despitefully used you and do wrong against you. Do good to them. So, Father, I thank you that you're developing this in us. For, Father, I know you're sending people here and to many churches that are coming out of the world and haven't been taught, don't know. And so we're going to have to love just as you loved. And so, Father, we thank you for that ability in us. We are your arms and your eyes and your body here to love even as you loved. And so, Father, we thank you for that capacity in us to do that. And we ask forgiveness if we've operated out of love in any way. And, Father, help us to walk in a greater measure of love. In the name of Jesus, amen.